The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
We are joined to talk about the relationship between Canada and Ireland and potential further trade investments in that relationship by Dennis King, who is the relatively new Canadian ambassador to Ireland. Mr. Ambassador, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Anton. Great to be here.
Can I open with a question? I'm assuming you haven't been asked before at the outset of an interview. Have you ever eaten flipper?
I've eaten parts of seal, but not the flipper.
Which parts do you tend to recommend?
I was in the north once and had a piece of seal blubber. It was, let me just say, it's an acquired taste.
I can imagine. And you're in Newfoundland? Is that home for you?
Prince Edward Island is home for me, and the I guess just cradled in between Nova Scotia and New Brunswick on the East Coast. And if 14% of Canadians trace their heritage to Ireland, it's probably closer to 40 or 45% in Prince Edward Island.
Would you notice that? Is there an evident Irish culture where you grew up?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, our province is twinned with County Monaghan, for example. So that's something that's always been very prominent for us. There's a small community right next door to where I live now and called Emmyvale, which is kind of the heartbeat of the Irish population in Prince Edward Island. And it's very much like Emmyvale in Monaghan. Very, very similar.
Tell us how you came to the appointment then as ambassador.
Well, it's one of these crazy stories. I was the premier of Prince Edward Island, was coming on to my sixth year in the job. The former Prime Minister Trudeau had asked me just what my plans were beyond this. We got to talking about an opportunity that was available in the diplomatic world in Ireland and would I be interested. Talked to my wife and family, and, you know, it's one of these jobs where we probably weren't ready to come here at our time in our life, but it's one of these opportunities where how do you say no? So we're trying to make the best of it. My wife is commuting back and forth. Our youngest son is still in just started university. So we have lots of logistical challenges, but we're here, and it's been incredible since April, the warm welcome we've received. But the connection between Ireland and Canada is so, so genuine and kind. And it's really, really, I feel it. It's palpable. And, of course, you love our new Prime Minister, Mark Carney, whose three grandparents come from County Mayo. So it's almost like you have an Irishman embedded in the Prime Minister's chair back in Canada.
Well, technically we did for a while. How is he doing on renouncing the Irish citizenship? Does he still have it, or do we know where he stands on that?
One of my duties, I'm not supposed to talk much politics in this new job, but I do know that during the election he said he had to walk away from his Irish passport. But I know in speaking with the Prime Minister when I traveled with the Taoiseach to the meeting we had in Ottawa in September, and he is very, very, very proud and fond of his Irish heritage.
He's Prime Minister at a very interesting time for Canada, because Canada's strongest ally, strongest trading relationship has for decades been the United States. And he himself has repeatedly said that that is over, that there is a fundamental shift in Canada's trade and alliances as a function of the changes in the US. What does that mean for Canada's links across the Atlantic?
Well, I think it means that our look toward the European Union and continental Europe in general is really, really pivotal in terms of our economic and trade diversity. I mean, geography will always make us connected to the United States, and that will always probably be the bulk of our trading partnership with the U.S. But as that reality, as the Prime Minister said, has changed and has forever changed, we're looking towards places like Europe and the Indo-Pacific, obviously, but more important, Europe, to increase our trade and to build upon those, I would say, the strong fundamentals of partnership that has endured between Canada and Europe for generations.
Maybe this is totally wrong, but as a layperson, I get the sense that the relationship between Canada and Europe and Canada and Ireland has been benign but not particularly economically thriving. Is there much in the way of significant trade? Is there much in the way of FDI?
Well, there is very, very much. I think that both of our countries, and because Ireland is so, Canada is built upon, our Irish history. So we have this shared understatedness about us. We don't sort of go out and thump our chests and brag about all of the things that we have accomplished. But, I mean, since the provisional ratification of CETA, for example, you know, trade has essentially doubled between Canada and Ireland since 2017. Foreign investment in Ireland from Canada is up 131%. It's almost similar going the other way from Ireland. And when you look at the population of Ireland, 5.5 million versus 40, 41 million in Canada, you know, it's really, really staggering. But I think the one perhaps thing that we would like to have worked upon a little bit over the years is just to put a little bit more emphasis on what exactly is going on between our two countries and maybe be a little less bashful and maybe just a small bit more boastful about what we're doing and also the opportunities that exist in this new trading world.
Where do you see those? Because obviously when we talk about trade with the US, there's a top-of-the-mind association with medtech, with pharma, with IT. What's the Canadian-Irish equivalent?
Well, I would say, you know, it's a lot of goods and services. You know, fintech, clean tech are really good growing opportunities here. You know, you have 85 or 90 Canadian businesses doing, you know, business in Ireland right now. Some of our largest companies are doing business here. Canadian companies employ, you know, over 20,000 Irish people on a day-to-day basis. You see the Canadian brands everywhere, like Circle K, and, you know, Irish Life is owned by, you know, Great West Life and Canada Life. You know, all the big banks are here. You know, TELUS is in, you know, Ballina, and it's in Cork. And, you know, so all of the Canadian companies are here. So the opportunity to grow and expand what exists is there. But also, you know, energy and security, information technology, all of these things are going to be so needed in this new world. And Canada has these wonderful opportunities, but there's wonderful opportunities back in Canada always too for the Irish people. So this trading relationship works both ways and needs to continue to do so.
What has been the reaction among Canadians to what has been happening south of the border?
Well, I think that there's kind of a personal and a professional reaction. I think personally, you know, a Canadian to a man or a woman is we're confused, bewildered, and offended about the of what has happened here in such a short time. We've always been such, we feel that we're really good neighbor and friend, and we're very kind. And the working relationship across the border that has existed for generations, you know, is so integrated. Like these businesses in the U.S. and Canada have you know, offices on each side of the border, and it's been integrated. So we don't quite understand why this has changed so dramatically so quickly. But, you know, I guess from a professional perspective, we're also taking our prime minister's lead. The prime minister says, you know, we aren't going to just sit there and sulk. You know, we're going to put our boots on. We're going to grow. We're going to tackle this head on. We're going to face these new realities. We're going to find new opportunities. And when the prime minister took office in, you know, in early March before the election, the first place he went was to Europe. He went to London and he went to Paris. And that was a very important signal for the focus of where Canada
and
is.
And is that a function of his background as governor of the Bank of England and the time that he spent in London? Is it that he personally has a tendency to look towards this side of the Atlantic?
Well, I suppose, like any political leader, that type of history would influence what you do. But I think that, you know, that the prime minister is also looking at the economic realities of what's going on right now. We do have this long-standing connection, but not just with Ireland, but, you know, Europe in general, that we have really benefited from, and there's lots more opportunity. As we say back in Canada, a lot more meat left on the bone, to capitalize upon. But, you know, I do think the our Prime Minister's CV, I think, you know, is very, very impressive. You know, he does have a long, credible history here in Europe, Ireland and the UK, for example. And that's certainly influencing his thinking. But I think economic realities are pointing us here, and companies have been doing business here, and they're telling us there's more in Europe.
Well, now, to that, you talked about the sense of offence. Your Prime Minister's CV includes a degree from Harvard, an undergraduate from Oxford, a master's in economics from Oxford. He's been governor of the Bank of Canada. He's been governor of the Bank of England. He then travels south of the border, and the American president refers to him as governor and does the reference to the 51st state, does the reference to Canada effectively getting away with U.S. protection without ever paying its own way. How does that go down? Because it is one thing to say we're going to change the economic relationship. It's another to actively poke the Prime Minister of Canada in the eye as much as is possible.
Look, I think Canadians, and maybe it's our Irish roots, but Canadians enjoy a good joke. We have a good sense of humor. We're, you know, we're self-deprecating. So I think when the conversation first started around the 51st state and referring to the former prime minister as the governor, we kind of all had a, you know, a peculiar chuckle, but we were like, okay, this is, you know, let's get down to business type of thing. So I think as that continued, as I say, it really became a burr in the saddle for a lot of Canadians. But I think it's just the reality of, you know, we're in a new world, and all of the comforting conventions that we've always seemed to have relied upon have been blown up, essentially. And so I think Canadians now are saying, enough of that silliness. You know, I'm tired of turning on the TV and seeing this all the time. What are we going to do to sort of take ownership of this and make the best that we can make of it? And that's the focus. I mean, that's why we're in Europe.
It's an extraordinary challenge for Canada, because if you look at, first of all, how socially integrated, I mean, the amount of Canadians who, when it gets chilly in winter, head south and into the US. I read one study on that if you track one gearbox used by GM, it travels north and south across the border something like 11 times in the construction phase. Untangling all of that is a huge challenge, isn't it?
Oh, I think it's an incredibly huge challenge. And Canadians, and I think a lot of those other companies are a little less interest in speaking up about it, but I think it's senseless. Like, I'm the former Premier of Prince Edward Island, who 95% of our trade is with the US. So it's not just car parts. Blueberries would go across the border five or six times in the value-added process. Potatoes would go back and forth. Lobsters would go back and forth many, many times. And the companies that are doing business in Maine and northeastern US are doing business in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island. And they've been integrated for generations. It's just a natural integration that has been there, that has been really essentially changed, and in some cases blown up. So there is just a confusion to it. But like all challenges that you face, you just have to realize this is the playing field now. If these are the rules we're going to play on, let's figure out what's going to be the best in interests of Canada. And as I say, that's why we're in Europe. That's why this partnership with the two governments and the two embassies to do this Conference Board of Canada report to show not just the great relationship we had, but the blueprint for how we grow that in the future.
And you don't think your prime minister is being overly fatalistic? You don't think it will reset if there is an administrative change south of the border?
I don't know the prime minister as personally as some people do, but I know two things. I know that he does have a great sense of humor, but I also know he's a very serious person, and he's a very serious man in a very serious time. So I think this isn't something that's fatalistic. I think he's understanding, like many Canadians are, of the realities, and we have two options. We can sit around and pout and complain about it, or we can actually figure out, okay, what is our roadmap to making this better for us? And that's the path that he's chosen. The Canadian government will release their budget on Tuesday. And I think within that budget will be a further blueprint of what, you know, the new trading and economic relationships around security and defense and all of these other global issues. I think you'll see Canada, you know, the blueprint for Canada within that.
To the two major issues that you've raised, you mentioned both potato exports and lobster exports. Have you come to accept that the Kerr's pink and the Eastern Atlantic lobster are a significant improvement on what you produce in Prince Edward Island?
You know, I'll say this. There's lots of things I miss from home. Two things you do very, very well here. Your beef is phenomenal. Your potatoes are phenomenal. Your butter is just the world class, you know. I still... It's going to be hard for anyone to move me off the spot of that the Atlantic Canadian lobster is the top of the mark.
Dennis King, thank you very much. That is the Canadian ambassador to Ireland, Dennis King. And of course, earlier in the week, that report, the Canada-Ireland Economic Relationship Beyond Barriers Deepening Canada-Ireland Trade and Investment, was launched.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.